Greetings, every soul. This is Christopher Rudy with Cosmic Love. And this is April 25th, 2009. And I'm bringing a show tonight on the dimensional shift. If you've had a chance to go to the Cosmic Love webpage, you'll see that I've got several articles there related to the dimensional shift. It's a subject that a lot of people are intrigued with, what's going on in the 2012 timeline. And I had a show this morning with Marcia McCullen, Peaceful Planet, here on the BBS radio network. And we discussed that. It's a topic that a lot of speakers on BBS radio and a lot of speakers, and you might say this what's sometimes called the New Age movement, are talking about what is this 2012 thing, what's going on with consciousness, and what in particular is going on with the shifting of dimension. And of course that is a function of the dimensions of consciousness. Dimensions are what consciousness perceives, and the perceptual, behavioral habit patterns, the believing, thinking, feeling, and acting are changing. And it's an accelerating change, what's going on the planet, what's going on in our social, political, economic institutions. There's a lot of change going on. So this dimensional shift and understanding of it, there are multiple takes on this, multiple perspectives on getting a grasp metaphorically what this means, the understanding of the different dimensions. We always hear about the concept that we live in a 3D world, and sometimes 4D is referred to, the fourth dimension is referred to as time. Other people have a different understanding of what the fourth and fifth dimensions are. These are abstracts that it's good to get congruent with this understanding of what this means and what's going on in the collective consciousness, what's going on individually with different people that are having different gifts of the, sometimes referred to as the Holy Spirit, or other times referred to as gifts of nonlinear effective sensory perception, not ESP, but effective sensory perception. And there's just a lot of interest in this subject right now. A lot of people are waking up to something that's going on that's fundamentally different from what happened before on a linear timeline. Now, a linear timeline is referencing to what's in the past continues through the present into the future, basically as the same. This understanding of a nonlinear timeline, it is that something is fundamentally different, that our perceptions are different, and consequently our reality is not following in a linear way from the past to the future. The expression is, with a lot of people who are understanding what's going on with the shift, is that we are going to where we're coming from, and that's true largely in the sense in the continuum, this you might say this nonlinear continuum, we're going to where our perceptions are now, because perceptual habits, behavioral styles of believing, thinking, and feeling create a habit, and we tend to go to where we're coming from. However, at the same time, with this nonlinear, sometimes called non-locality, or this new synchronicity on the 2012 timeline, there's not a linear progression, and there's a lot of people that are starting to basically see things wholly differently. Now, this is disturbing to a lot of people. A lot of people are waking up to new realities of what's really going on in the world and what's going on with the economy. A lot of people are realizing that the same people that created the economic problems in the world and in the United States are the ones that have bailed themselves out. It's disturbing to a lot of people. And this is what I mean by there's a lot of awakening going on and a lot of cognitive dissonance at the same time. And this dissonance you might say, is the status quo that we see so much in the mainstream media. Obviously, they don't give us the straight skinny on the deep doo-doo in the mainstream media. They don't really tell us what's going on. If the newscasters told us the truth, they'd lose their jobs. In other words, they don't come right out and say, oh, folks, you know, it looks like that the same people that created this economic mess are the ones that have bailed themselves out. I mean, we don't hear that, you know. So anyway, what I'd like to provide as a perspective on the show is more of an understanding of what's uniquely different about this dimensional shift, this big shift of the ages, this big shift from what is referred to as the last 2,000-year Piscean Age into the next 2,000-year Aquarian Age. And obviously we're on the cusp, or between ages, and this is a period of transition. It's a period of transformation. And there's definitely a huge groundswell movement worldwide of people that, and movements, groups of people that are coming out with more truth, more understanding of everything from the new technologies, the free energy technologies that can liberate, you might say, the planet from toxic petrochemical pollution, to holistic healing technologies that are non-invasive, that are energetically based, that create homeostasis in the body, and just breakthroughs that, you know, for the holistic analysis, prevention and treatment of disease. And this was the last show that I had, was on the self-perfecting database standards for the holistic analysis, prevention and treatment of disease. And I also went into my last show, it's archived here on BBS Radio, with this other big movement, breakthroughs, this whole movement from, you might say, from breakdown to breakthrough, dealing with what's going on with the computer internet revolution, with wholly new models of interactivity for social interactivity in social networks that creates social conscience in our social networks. And this social conscience, you might say, is the new currency for the next economy. And it's the currency of conscience. And how this currency of conscience, again, referencing effective sensory perception, is really the checks and balances on social networks that our founding fathers really talked about. They talked about checks and balances, the balance of power between, you might say, the love of power, those who want to co-opt and seize power in government. So there's love of power on one extreme and the power of love on the other. And in the middle is the wisdom to know the difference. And so this spectrum, you might say the blue, yellow, and the pink. The blue, from the power to wisdom to the yellow in the middle of the spectrum, and then the pink, the other end of the spectrum with the love. This is threefold flame, and this concept of a balanced threefold flame, like the executive, judicial, and legislative branches of the government represent that. And you might say there's the left brain and the right brain, and the wisdom to know the difference is what's going on between our ears with this threefold flame. So there's this movement in the computer internet revolution. There's this movement going on to create in social networks greater social conscience. And there's breakthroughs going on there. It's being called Web 3.0, which distinguishes Web 2.0, which is so many of the social networks that are out there now that are not highly interactive on a mass-to-mass level, which is what distinguishes Web 3.0, the next generation of the computer internet revolution, with mass-to-mass interaction. And, of course, what makes that possible is the universal language interface. And that concept of a universal interface whereby 100 or a million or even more people can respond to the same program at the same time without creating noise, that concept of how that will work and how that will involve and evolve consciousness of the processes of consciousness through this universal law language interface, which is a function of the processes of consciousness, and how that works, and how that works in terms of the frequency of holy compassion is a biofeedback metric that can be used over the computer with a simple monitor that clips on over the heart and registers the heart rhythm and can actually show a person at their own computer screen when they're in the actual frequency of holy compassion. The concept of that, having a biofeedback indicator that lets a person know when they are or are not in that frequency of holy compassion. And this is all technology that's out of the box and out there now with biofeedback. The HeartMath Institute uses it. I think they call it HeartLink. And what it is that they've developed a way with a simple computer program that shows with this biofeedback with a golden ratio algorithm of the heart rhythm. It actually shows when you're in that frequency of compassion. So that as a metric, as a standard, as a frame of reference for, you might say, the power of love, because when a person's in that frequency, their consciousness is, you might say, centered and connected in their heart. It's centered and connected, with a vibration, a frequency that some people would call fourth dimension, other people would call fifth dimension, but it is higher dimensional than third dimension. And the idea is when we process what's going on in 3D world from the perspective of being in our hearts, it anchors this processing from this higher dimensional frequency of compassion. We are actually then involving consciousness, our consciousness, you might say, from a frame of reference that involves and evolves a higher mental processing frame of reference. So this understanding of frames of reference in a higher mental way is something I've talked about in previous shows, and it was Marsha McCohen's show, Peaceful Planet. This morning we talked about this idea of the constitution of universal law language as frames of reference that are represented by pure geometry thought forms that can be utilized for the expansion of consciousness. And when you think about that, thought forms for the expansion of consciousness that are universal, it goes back to ancient mysteries that were sometimes referenced through Hermetic philosophy, Hermes. Thrice great Hermes Trismegistus is often quoted as saying that in the beginning God geometrized. So geometrically ordered divinity as an acronym for God, G-O-D, God geometrized basically frames of reference from the beginning. And then the order of the universe has these pure geometry frames of reference. And if you look at ancient astrology, and modern astrology, it is based on the geometric aspecting of the energetics of heaven on earth, as above, so below. The energetics of cosmos as it interfaces with the energetics in our 3D world. And very simply, those geometric aspects, if you understand astrology, it corresponds to the quantum physics, the energetics of the material plane and all dimensions as we know it in physics. That all energy fields, I should say, which represent all dimensions, all energy fields and energy fields within fields in the physical plane are represented by three basic types of energy fields, which goes back to this threefold flame I was talking about. this threefold aspect of power, wisdom, and love. And those three aspects and energy fields are right dynamic energy fields, round magnetic energy fields, and radiant energy fields. And the laws of physics have found that all these energy fields within fields, and everything is energy, and the quantum universe has, you know, we now know that everything is just energy fields within fields. And it's a little denser in this 3D world we live in, but still, you know, the quantum reality is that these energy fields, the right dynamic, round magnetic, and radiant energy fields, represent, you might say, geometric thought forms. The right dynamic energy fields is like in astrology. You have your opposition and your squares. Squares is 90 degrees, and oppositions is it like a linear relationship energetically. And that linear frame of reference in astrology is your squares and oppositions. But at the same time, you have the round magnetic energy fields, and thought forms representing that being the circle. And in astrology and in psychology, you have the principle of unity in diversity, or a blending of energies, and this is the round magnetic, where a magnetic field, which is like the aura around the human body, it's like the law of the one. There is a one field there, and there's a blending of all the fields within that ovoid of the aura and the ovoid of consciousness. And that's in astrology known as the conjunction, when two planets are in conjunction. The energetic blend, and as that and the influence of that blending, as above, so below, you know, in cosmos, whether the planets out there and how they impact, you might say, the energetics of consciousness at a very subtle level. And again, astrology as psychology gets into this. Those have made a study of this, the science of it, quantum physics is bringing back to the understanding of it as we are in the universe and the universe is in us. It's all connected. And the subtle fields within fields of the universe, and the fields of between our ears, the holographic field of consciousness, that there is an interface in its own right. Now, modeling that interface, an interactive interface for mass-to-mass communications, so that what's going on between a person's ears and how that can be represented by an individual. And again, this is talking about a system that is impersonal, and yet, you know, without the concept of tracking or surveillance, it's independent of that. There's no recognition of which individual is saying what, but the concept of how a system like this could represent an electronic upgrade of our five core constitutional freedoms of speech, assembly, petition, government, etc., and how a person could be watching a YouTube video, a multimedia presentation, perhaps that they created themselves, and how 100 or 1,000 or a million people could be watching that and responding to it, being centered in their heart, you know, with a clip-on little biofeedback monitor over their heart as they're sitting at their computer terminal. And again, like I said, this is off-the-shelf technology that could be utilized now. And at the same time, this network would then show this network of live people interacting to this program would show, if it was a live presentation, it would show, number one, how many people were, you know, with a little monitor there at the right hand of your lower right hand corner of your computer screen, you could see how many people are watching a program, how many people are in their heart, what percentage of the people are in their heart at the time as they respond, and and this response capability is really where it gets interesting. How the alphanumeric keyboard on the right hand part of your keypad, you know, that you type into when you're typing on the computer. There's that alphanumeric keyboard on the right, and there are three numbers, the sequence, you know, 1 to 10 sequence of numbers, creates a dot in a cube. So in the lower right-hand corner of your computer screen, you can have like a 3D floating cube that actually can show during a presentation. You can have it set to just show your own input with three numbers in sequence creating a dot, which corresponds to three dimensions of response. And these three dimensions of response, first number and those three numbers in sequence, is like a brightness scale. If you make the analogy of white light being a scale from from the top to the bottom on a 1 to 10 scale, and you, at any one moment you can say a program is too bright, authoritative, and sophisticated above you, or as you're watching that program, your first impression, again, this first scale, you can say it is too childlike, dark. Lower on that scale, which you might say from that goes from dimwit to enlightened, that's this first scale. Or you can say it's below you or above you. There's different ways to relate to that first vertical dimension. And the idea is that if on a 1 to 10 scale, the 0 would be in the center and the 1s would be on the end of that scale. And, of course, it reflexes. If you're saying the program is too bright or too dark, basically you're saying that there's a sense of separation from where you're at. And the extremes of that would be 1. And on both dimensions, from the top down or the bottom up, it comes into the idea of wholeness in the middle, where you're really centered and connected. So if you were saying on that first scale it's balanced, the brightness is balanced, like in a black and white photograph. If you don't have it overexposed or underdeveloped, then you have details in the highlights and the shadow areas. Well, it's the same concept. At any moment in time, you might get a snapshot of a multimedia presentation, and you can input that response on that first scale, which is like in black and white photography, how well exposed and developed, you might say, that moment in time is. Now, I'm metaphorically going into this in an in-depth way. You can go to the website, which goes into this analogy on these three dimensions a lot more. It's at heartcom.org /lightlanguage.htm, and that light language is all lowercase, and then it's .htm. And I have that link in some of the websites on the BBS radio webpage. So that was just the first dimension. The other two dimensions of response, you might say, define this dot in the cube. Three numbers in sequence create a dot in a cube, like in a 3D cube. And you might say the fourth dimension then is a comprehension of these first three dimensions, the language of consciousness. Other people would say the fourth dimension is time. And I quite often use that analogy that the fourth dimension is any picture at one moment. You have a whole sequence of pictures, which is like motion pictures. Movies are, you know, this concept of the fourth dimension as being all these pictures in the sequence. And, of course, the concept of mass-to-mass interaction means at any point during a presentation, you could give your input, and then the sequence in time is the fourth dimension. And it's the fifth dimension that is the consciousness that is cultured as a function of involving and evolving individual and collective consciousness on that timeline. Now, that understanding of the fifth dimension as a congruent integration of these first three dimensions that follow the language of consciousness and the fourth dimension being the sequence in time, that is the most congruent explanation I've seen of dimensionality. And I've seen it reflected in many articles and many concepts of quantum physics. I've seen it step down that way. And I have one website at the bottom of the BBS radio homepage on cosmic love that gets into understanding 10 dimensions. And what that explains is the first five dimensions, as I just mentioned, are how the individual relates to all this. And that the next five dimension is how the collective conscience, now this is the collective conscience within any social network, or the collective conscience within the morphic grids of humanity as a whole. And the 10 dimensions correspond to the same process I was referring to within a social network with interactive consciousness involving and evolving of consciousness of individuals. But there's the concept of 10 dimensions within the collective consciousness within a social network, and 10 dimensions in the morphic grids of the collective consciousness of all humanity. That's sometimes referred to the collective unconscious, because there's in the morphic grids of the morphogenic grids of consciousness on the inner. There's tapping that. There's no objective way to do that. Objectively, or subjectively, there is. There's people that channel that kind of information, but objectively there's not. But the concept of how this can be done objectively within a social network, defining the next big thing in the computer internet revolution, a model of mass-to-mass interaction that would involve and evolve our individual and collective consciousness. That's an exciting concept. And if you read that article, Understanding 10 Dimensions, one of the recent articles, you'll get a sense of what I'm talking about. It has very good graphics, computer animated graphics. There's a link there, and you'll see a little presentation on that. And the explanation goes into the same with some of the links I referred to: the language of light, the language of consciousness. Understanding this concept is a huge thing that goes a long way to understanding the dimensional shift. It's actually a metaphor for the dimensional shift that's going on in the collective consciousness of humanity. I would never begin to try to explain 10 dimensions. For most people, the idea of 5 dimensions and then getting the language straight on 5-dimensional consciousness is a very difficult abstract. But at the same time, for a lot of people, they can understand 3D simple enough. The idea of height, width, and depth is simple enough. And 4D, as height, width, and depth in sequence to create the illusion of motion, as in motion pictures, that's simple enough. And the idea of consciousness as a function of that, and the language of consciousness as a function of the language of light, the photomechanical process, as it parallels the perceptual process. Get the picture? In other words, there's these analogies, these languages, these metaphors. I mean, Christ spoke in parables a couple thousand years ago, and he used parables like the loaves and the fishes and the wheats and the tares, and he used agricultural metaphors. Well, I think the metaphors for consciousness, if Christ were alive today, I'd really believe he'd be using analogies of like the photographic process and how there's the language of light and the language of consciousness and how the photomechanical process parallels the perceptual process. I think that's kind of a self-evident truth, that the language of our day is the language of the computer internet revolution, and that computer internet revolution is an extension of the brain, just as the car is an extension of the feet and the clothes are an extension of the skin, and television is an extension of the eyes and telephones are an extension of the ear. The computer internet revolution is an extension of the collective consciousness of humanity. And the metaphors for understanding that goes back to, the whole evolution of the image-making process. I mean, if we're created in the image of God, let's get this image-making process straight. And going back to black and white photography, simple black and white photography, the expression, getting the picture was a function of good exposure and development of the negative, and it's like problem solving. You don't get a good solution unless you define the problem well. And you don't get a good positive print unless you expose and develop the negative well. And there's all these analogies you can get into, and the whole analogy of, I talked about that first dimension, which is like the brightness scale or black and white photography. The second dimension would correspond to like color photography. In other words, all those nuances, the nuances of color, and how the whole spectrum of consciousness and full spectrum consciousness, like white light, which I referred to on that first dimension of the three dimensions, the first dimensional consciousness, you have this, you might say the white light of the infinite and the eternal ascending and descending into the prism of human consciousness in the here and now and refracting into all the colors of the rainbow. And this is the full spectrum consciousness that we don't hear a lot about, but we do hear about full spectrum disorder, autism. And there's all kinds of people that have all kinds of different autistic full spectrum disorders. And we hear about the more gross examples of it, but a lot of people, you know, are strong on the blue end of the spectrum, or the pink end of the spectrum, or the middle of the spectrum, or the green, you know, and the yellow in the middle of the spectrum. But they don't, you know, you might say they don't operate on all cylinders at one time. And in the same way that you have some people that, you know, there's this interaction of the brightness scale and the color spectrum. You have some people that have more of a full spectrum consciousness, but it's not bright all the time. You know, they're like, you know, when they're hot, they're hot, and when they're not, they're not. This is the human condition. You know, there's an awakening process, you might say, from base to crown, and the idea of the rising kundalini and the collective consciousness of humanity. There's a certain level that collective humanity is at right now. There are some people that are, you know, the brilliant shooting stars and, you know, have that certain type of genius that, you know, really cuts through the Maya and the illusion and gives brilliant insight and on the order of the universe and what's really going on in the world. A good example of that is David R. Hawkins, who wrote the book Power versus Force, the Hidden Determinants of Human Behavior. If you haven't read that book, by the way, that's a classic that's good to reference every once in a while. Dr. Wayne Dyer, who's a brilliant inspirational speaker, said it was perhaps the most important and significant book he's read in the past 10 years. I keep that around every once in a while, and that book gets into this understanding of the collective consciousness, these hidden determinants of collective consciousness, and how they've used kinesiology, muscle testing, to find out that, you know, how you can find out where you are on the scale. Some people call it the 1-10 scale. He refers to it as the 1-1,000 scale with increments of 100. I was referencing the 1-10 scale, but it's the same concept of there are objective ways to understand what is going on subjectively in one's consciousness. And there's no better determinant of that than a person interacting, you might say, with a collective consciousness of people who are objectively using this evaluation criteria, the language of light, the language of consciousness, using that evaluation criteria to involve and evolve their individual and collective consciousness in a social network, so that the social conscience that is cultured as a function of that, that social conscience that is based on the language of consciousness itself, that cultures the language of consciousness, that social consciousness is the criteria for evolutionary ascent of the collective consciousness of humanity. Now, that concept of how we can objectively participate in the conscious languaging of the collective social conscience, the conscious languaging of all our social, political, and economic problems, the conscious languaging that cultures consciousness, you might say, highlights what's real, what's the truth, what works best, what will culture, the kind of culture that we all want, you know, a vision of wholeness for healing all our social, political, and economic institutions, and how that works. Well, there's nothing more valuable than a vision that has found its time, as Victor Hugo once said. And for me, it's, you know, this concept of how to outpicture this understanding of the process that is culturing conscience in our social networks. To me, that's really the heart of the issue. It's really the language of consciousness that I believe the U.S. founding fathers would be most interested in at this time, as far as a way to update our core constitutional freedoms of speech, assembly, and petition government. Because if you think about it, you know, the TV has become, or the computer screen has become, the modern printing page. So freedom of speech would be able to use, you know, everyone being able to use their own computer screen, not only for the evaluation of Google videos or multimedia presentations or just, you know, evaluations of postings, but for the origination of them. I mean, really, when you think about it, the creation, if the tools were available, the creation of a Google video is not that difficult. Children, 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds are creating videos on their laptops and computers. They should be teaching really how to these skills in grade school, if you think about it. I mean, reading, writing, and arithmetic is important, but the language of consciousness as a function of the image-making processes whereby children can learn to communicate and become conscious of how they're conscious with these image-making tools and these communication tools, the concept of that and how, and I remember when cable television was in its infancy, and I was involved with the developing public access cable TV in my hometown back in Troy, Ohio, I remember how children were involved with creating cable TV programs, you know, with the video cameras. I remember the first portable video, Sony backpack portable video cameras, that was a real breakthrough. And the first cable TV stations in the United States, in New York City, I mean, they would go, people would take the portable Sony video out into the streets and shoot stuff and come back into the studio and play it over the cable channels. And children would have little workshops and play with this equipment and make video programs. Well, it's not that, at this stage, the technology has evolved enough. We're creating a Google video, a YouTube video, you know, is what I'm referring to when I say Google video. A YouTube video, or just a video for any of the new video networks that are out there now. It's easy enough to do with these little handheld cameras or a little camera sitting on top of your computer screen. It's easy enough to create a multimedia presentation that speaks for itself. And then 100 or 1 million people can watch that, or, you know, watch that presentation. I mean, look at this lady in England. I don't know if you saw the video clip, but I think 15 million people saw her singing on this presentation in England on their vision of American Idol they have over there. They were doing that, and she sang this presentation, and it was, her voice was just so incredible. And it's like, I think, a 47-year-old kind of a dumpy lady who'd lived all by herself all her life and never been kissed, I think she said, and she sang this presentation. I saw the Google or the YouTube video, and it brought tears to my eyes, you know, just the inspiration that just in her voice. And anyway, the idea, if anyone can create a multimedia presentation, and there should be public access centers and libraries and civic centers where people can go and create their own multimedia presentation that speaks for itself. I'd like to think there was kind of self-service little modules people could go into and shut the door so they could sing something or create private, you know, a multimedia sound-on-sound presentation, edit it together, you know, kind of a synthesizer editing capabilities. I think, you know, that all civic centers should have those things. It's an electronic upgrade of our core freedoms of speech, assembly, and petition. And I mean, you think about it, all problems are communication problems, and the communication tools exist whereby people could communicate more freely, and where people then could, and again, communication is a two-way process. You can originate a presentation and you can evaluate a presentation. And you see a lot of originating presentations, but as far as real-time evaluation where 100 or 1,000 or a million people could respond to a program at the same time that they watch it for the first time, now this could be a live presentation or a replay presentation like a YouTube video. And what if there was a language of consciousness, as I was explaining, where you could interact while you were watching the presentation? And then at the end of the presentation, you could see not just where you responded during the presentation and how everyone else responded with dots in a cube, this floating cube I was talking about. So you could see where the response was, but you could go back electronically, pull a little bar back to the time of that moment and see the context or replay the context, just like you can do on a YouTube video. You could replay that context and see how people responded in that cube. In other words, whether it was balancing, whether it was centering, whether there was agreement or dissociation in the collective consciousness, and then you could create a new presentation based on the context and meaning at any one moment and as a whole during this presentation. Now, this concept is what I mean by information's ecology. How you can recycle general knowledge to generate specific wisdom. Information's ecology. And I also refer to it as how you could involve and evolve individual and collective consciousness. Information's ecology again. And E equals MC squared, was Einstein's, thing of the unified field theory and the conversion of energy and matter. It's also the conversion of consciousness and matter, because C was the symbol of light. As you approach the speed of light, all time and space becomes relative. But C is also the representation of consciousness. As you become conscious of how you're conscious, all time and space becomes relative. And it becomes relative with the context and meaning. So the context and meaning at any one time of a presentation, as you're watching that presentation, how 1,000 or a million people are coming together at that moment with their consciousness, with the language of consciousness that qualifies the collective conscience with that context and meaning, to objectify that and to provide a process to involve and evolve more conscience, enlightened conscience. I mean, when I say there's nothing more valuable than that vision that has found its time, I think you can see how that vision alone could be the catalyst for a self-fulfilling prophecy, and how that self-fulfilling prophecy is a vision of wholeness for healing in all our social, political, and economic institutions based on the currency, the new currency for the next economy, which is the currency of conscience. So, anyway, I can't think of anything better to do. I'm fascinated with this idea of how to best picture this vision of virtue for the victory of conscience, and how to culture this language of consciousness. I sometimes refer to it as the love model, and the love model is not just the form, these geometric thought forms for expanding consciousness of these processes of consciousness, spherical consciousness, linear consciousness, the synergy consciousness of the linear and the nonlinear, which is the Holy Trinity, thesis, antithesis, synthesis, or the synergy from the left brain and the right brain, the synergy. And it's like the wisdom, that synergy in the Trinity. The Holy Trinity is really that synergy where the whole is greater than the sum of the parts, is where you can be conscious in your left and your right brain at the same time with the wisdom to know the difference between linear and nonlinear frames of reference. In other words, the linear is like the habit from the past to the present into the future, but the nonlinear is the here and now, the fully present, full spectrum presence. Someone called the I am presence, But the you might say the presence of enlightenment, you know, conscience, that gives perspective to that linear frame of reference and adjudicates it. It modifies it. The idea of judicial wisdom, adjudicating, former laws, former linear laws on the linear timeline from the past into the future, it adjudicates it. Basically, there's a new synergy, with a new enlightenment and this new dimensional shift that's going on in our DNA and in our consciousness. There is a new synergy from the past to the present and to the future. You have this time-space continuum, which is all the past, present, and future is in the here and now. But the wisdom to know the difference between the habits that we've known and the potential of the future to create a wholly new reality, a wholly new institutions, social, political, and economic institutions, that's a wholly different kind of a thing. And that's what's happening. And that's what the process with this language of light and consciousness and this whole process with Web 3.0, creating social conscience in our social networks, that's what that's doing. That's what's happening. That's what's going on in our social networks. The whole purpose of social networks is to culture social conscience. You might say that the higher purpose of social networks is to culture social conscience. And that's in process. That's, you know, these computer internet savvy people that are developing social networks, they're interested in, you might say, upgrading on an ongoing basis the full potential of what a social network is. And of course, what a social network is what a social network does. It networks social conscience. And I can't emphasize that enough. I'm playing with the concept, you know, to metaphorically massage the message. And that is, the media is the message, as Marshall McLuhan said. The media is the message. This instant, everywhere, interactive capability of the internet is accelerating consciousness. That's the message. It's accelerating consciousness to where we are conscious of how we are conscious. And that psyche feedback, just like there's biofeedback that can get you centered and connected in your heart with the golden ratio algorithm of the heart rhythm, there's psyche feedback. You can become conscious of how you're conscious. And you can do that in a collective social network. And the social network that's cultured as a function of that social conscience is the most valuable vision of extraordinary virtue for the victory of civilization that can be conceived. And how that can be made manifest, how that can be encouraged, empowered, cultured with interactive mass-to-mass communication tools is just a miracle. But all those tools, like I said, are off the shelf. All the components are off the shelf. All the components have been proven. They're out there in part. When they're integrated and synergized, the whole will be far greater than the sum of the parts, and you will have the involving and evolving of consciousness that cultures a revolution in higher consciousness. And a lot of people are just excited about seeing that happen. I hope you are too. I haven't had anyone call in during the show. If anyone would like to call, we've got 30 seconds left. No, just kidding. I think we might have a minute. Going to have to wrap it up here shortly. I want to thank you for listening today. I hope I've touched some hearts, some minds, and the sole purpose and plan the masters know and serve for the building of God's kingdom and the outpicturing of God's consciousness on earth as it is in heaven. So thank you for listening to Cosmic Love this day, April 25th, 2009. And I have to make that a wrap. Look forward to talking with you in a couple weeks. So, happy trails. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this presentation on Cosmic Love. I hope you have enjoyed receiving this as much as I have enjoyed giving it. There's a new relationship with all humanity that is maturing with the new synchronicity of instant, everywhere, interactive, net reality. Cosmic Love is the heart of this synchronicity. Tools and processes that empower the wisdom of Cosmic Love is the purpose of the Worldwide Love Foundation. The family of man is now making a quantum leap into a new consciousness as never before in history. Our awareness as humankind is expanding, and the Internet reflects that multidimensional expansion of consciousness into new realms of omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence in the power of cosmic love. This has huge implications. The more information we have, the greater the need to get it all in order. The more knowledge power we have, the greater the need for the wisdom of cosmic love. That should be common sense, and it's time to make common sense more common. If you agree that the American Revolution was huge for freedom and opportunity in the world, look what's happening to the whole world now. A new connection with cosmic love is positioning the golden rule, law, language for a golden age in our spirit, our minds, our hearts, and the soul of humanity. We're on the threshold of a global revolution that is awakening the angels of our better nature. Let's be honest and reason together. Cosmic love has always been the golden rule, law, language for every golden age in cosmic history. Some things don't change, only the ability of the human mind to grasp the full implications of the world in which we now live. That has changed with the Internet, and like an adolescent who is not an adult yet, but not a child either, the Internet is now installed, operational, and ready to take our personal and planetary consciousness to the next level. That would be cosmic love, and the foundation principles for this is the Love Model, a universal law language interface for net reality that represents the five-dimensional intelligence that can fulfill a global revolution in higher consciousness. Check it out for yourself. See how it works. Consider the role you can play and how you can benefit. The sooner you get the vision of this cosmic love thing, the sooner you can profit from a wholly new economy that will transform all our social networks with extraordinary abundance of everything held sacred by free people worldwide. There is a new intelligence that is defining and refining humanity's evolutionary ascent. The higher the intelligence of universal cosmic love, the greater the results. The gateway to higher consciousness is, in fact, the language of consciousness. The five-dimensional intelligence that cosmic love frames in form and frequency, as in frequently. Once you get it, how the Holy Spirit of love and action can heal our individual and collective conscience, it will become self-evident how cosmic love can nurture and culture the net reality that brings a Holy Spirit to the collective consciousness of humanity. Love heals all, always has, always will. The more cosmic and universal the vision of love, the greater the results. Welcome to the opportunity. It's time to link the light workers who are love makers. The Internet now provides this opportunity for extraordinary synchronicity as will empower wisdom with cosmic love. Someone had to do it. Now you can. Network for the net worth of this new net reality. You have the vision now before you. What you do with it can change your world and the world at large. We are all co-creators in the cosmic scheme of cosmic love. The great spirit of great love is the great opportunity that genuine freedom gives all of us. Heaven knows that there is nothing more valuable than the vision of cosmic love that has found its time. Experience the Worldwide Love Foundation in your consciousness, being, and world. Care enough to share this vision of great opportunity. Step into the circle of global connection as you center and connect with the five-dimensional intelligence of cosmic love that provides the cultural DNA for a golden age on Earth. Miracles happen when cosmic love is conceived, believed, and achieved. You are that miracle when you become the cosmic love you want to see in the world. Own this vision as your own. Embrace the intrinsic virtue of cosmic love. Make the vow to do what you can because you can. Claim the victory for all mankind aspiring to live as kind men. Here's to winning from the beginning of a global revolution that will finish worldwide with the great experiment and representative government gave humanity with the American Revolution. Heaven on earth is virtually in your hands. Do you want the keys to the kingdom? Are you ready to assemble the components to the capstone of cosmic love vision? Discover the five-dimensional intelligence that will empower your own virtually untapped gifts and talents. Consider how you can make a difference, if not the difference. It's your life, your world. Take command. Give cosmic love the chance that you want for all mankind. Now you can. See for yourself. Do it for cosmic love, and heaven knows cosmic love will bless your life far beyond this one. Sooner or later, what goes around comes around. You can call that good karma, or the justice of cosmic law, or just the blessings of cosmic love. It's the same thing. The abundant life is born in abundant love. The more cosmic that love, the more abundant is your life. Personally, I can't think of anything better to do, and I hope you feel the same way. So keep in touch with cosmic love. It only gets better as you pay attention. This is how cosmic love works. Pay attention because attention pays in ways that make cosmic love the new currency for global peace and prosperity. Your attention is your consciousness. The next economy for planetary civilization will pay attention to the value of virtue, the virtue of cosmic love. The family of man and our global village must be connected to this one virtue. We must pay attention to the first principles of higher consciousness if we are to transcend the old paradigms of scarcity consciousness that scarcity economics has created. This is the whole point of cosmic love. We won't heal our personal and planetary problems with the same consciousness that created the problems. The best hope for humanity is the charity of goodwill among mankind. This is the charity of cosmic love in action. This is the Holy Spirit of cosmic love in man that raises mankind with loving kindness. I hope you appreciate this message and share it with others. That may be just your circle of influence with family and friends, or it may be every news group or blog on the internet where lightworkers and enlightened netizens, global citizens, hang out. By the grace of cosmic love, enough good people will do enough soon enough to quickly turn the tide of global consciousness from the paradigm of scarcity to the paradigm of abundance that cosmic love cultures. May the quickening and awakening of consciousness begin with you and your own personal evolution in higher consciousness. Thanks again for listening to Cosmic Love.